May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 292. Amidst 10,000 dangers which everywhere abound, the pilgrims and the strangers alone secure are found. For on their Lord they're waiting, they seek him night and day, his aid they're supplicating in his appointed way. 292.
Thank you. We'll read from the prophecy of Isaiah, chapters 25 and 26. The prophecy of Isaiah, chapters 25 and 26. O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee, I will praise thy name. For thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. For thou hast made of a city an heap, of a defence city a ruin, the palace of strangers to be no city, it shall never be built. Therefore shall the strong people glorify thee, the city of the terrible nation shall fear thee. For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. Thou shalt bring down the noise of strangers as the heat in a dry place, even the heat with the shadow of a cloud. The branch of the terrible one shall be brought low. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well refined. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. It shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God, we have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him, we will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. In this mountain shall the hand of the Lord rest, and Moab shall be trodden down under him, even as straw is trodden down for the dunghill. And he shall spread forth his hands in the midst of them, as he that swimmeth spreadeth forth his hands to swim. And he shall bring down their pride together with the spoils of their hands. And the fortress of the high fort of thy walls shall he bring down, lay low, and bring to the ground, even to the dust. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high. The lofty city he layeth it low. He layeth it low even to the ground. He bringeth it even to the dust. The foot shall tread it down, even the feet of the poor, and the steps of the needy. The way of the just is uprightness. Thy most upright dost weigh the path of the just. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. When thy judgments are in the earth, inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Let favour be showed to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly, and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. Lord, when thy hand is lifted up, they will not see. But they shall see and be ashamed for their envy at the people. Yea, the fire of thine enemies shall devour them. Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us. For thou also hast wrought all our works in us. O Lord our God, other lords beside thee have had dominion over us. But by thee only will we make mention of thy name. They are dead. They shall not live. They are deceased. They shall not rise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them and made all their memory to perish. Thou hast increased the nation, O Lord. Thou hast increased the nation. Thou art glorify. Thou hadst removed it far unto the ends of the earth. Lord, in trouble have they visited thee. They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. Like as a woman with child that draweth near the time of her delivery is in pain and crieth out in her pangs, so have we been in thy sight, O Lord. We have been with child, we have been in pain. We have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth. Neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. Thy dead men shall live. Together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpast. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. Dear Lord, we look to thee this day as we are favoured to enter into thy house and seek thy presence in our midst. We come to thee in our needs, in our weakness, in our many temptations and evils of our hearts. Come to thee as that holy God, and yet, dear Lord, in all thy holiness and majesty and glory there is for us, we know a way of access to the Father through his dear Son and his finished work. And oh, we come, Lord, pleading that blood that did for sin atone. We seek his strength and his blessing, his love and his mercy, those everlasting arms of love and mercy we would constantly feel and find to be underneath us, and Lord, his presence to go with us into the unknown future. Lord, thou hast promised that thy grace is sufficient for us, for thy strength is made perfect in weakness. And dear Lord, we pray that we may ever know that divine strength as we have known it again and again in all our needs, that God who changes not, that God who has ever been faithful, we have proved when most we need his helping hand, this friend is always near. With heaven and earth at his command, he waits to answer prayer. And Lord, we have to walk out the path, we have learnt it, to learn and enter in experience into the strength of God and the peace of God which passes all understanding. And now it's the fears and the temptations of thy dear people and the way they go. But gracious God, there is a blessedness in putting our hand into the hand of God and going out into the dark, trusting in him at all times, pouring out our heart before him and proving in the sweet experience of it that God is a refuge for us. So we seek this day, Lord, that the congregation may know those everlasting arms underneath, and that there may be, dear Lord, a sweet knowledge of thyself, that, gracious God, thou wilt ordain peace for us, as we have read in thy holy word. Peace eternally. Peace through the blood of Christ. Peace through our God and his finished work. And equally, Lord, we pray for the peace of living faith, that we may be enabled to roll our burdens upon thee, to casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And Lord, thou didst say when thou didst leave thy disciples, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Lord, we would prove thee again and again as the God of peace in our lives, the God who changes not, who ever abideth faithful. And Lord, we pray that thy will may be done in earth as it is in heaven. We seek in this congregation the work of thy Spirit. Lord, we pray for thy work. Thou hast said, I will work, and who shall let it? And Lord, thou hast a work to accomplish. Thou hast said of thy one Zion, they shall come from the north and the south, and the east and the west, will I gather them. Thou hast said of them that thou wilt try their faith, that thou wilt bring them through the furnace, and Lord, that they may learn of thee, that thou art that God of almighty strength. We pray it may be so. O look down, Lord, and send Holy Spirit to teach and to reveal the things of Jesus in the heart. O grant grace. gracious God, there may be a spiritual education, a learning of Thee in the way. Lord, we know it is the only way we shall ever learn in the sweet paths of experience, though Thou dost call Thy dear people to pass through the fire of temptation, the fire of affliction. Lord, the trial of their faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, may be found unto honour and glory and praise at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Lord, and as we look back over the way, yes, there have been fires to pass through, but to Thine own honour and glory, Lord, we know and can truly say that we have walked with Thee in the fire and known Thy presence in the pathway and proved Thee to be that unchangeable, faithful friend. We pray the congregation may know it in their individual pathways, their individual needs, and that, Lord, there may be that establishment in the truth, that growth in grace, that proving of the reality of the work of grace by its fruit. Lord, in these solemn and dark days in which we're now living, we're learning that lesson again and again, that, Lord, there are only two marks of grace. One, by their fruit ye shall know them, and two, he that endureth unto the end shall be saved. And we pray, gracious God, in the hearts of young and old, there may be given those two great hallmarks, those manifestations of the work of the Spirit, fruit, Lord, manifested, the fruits of the Spirit. And also that, Lord, they may be given that great hallmark, he that endureth unto the end, to fight that good fight of faith and to lay hold on eternal life. Gracious God, we pray for Thy work in the midst, here a little and there a little, line upon line and precept upon precept, a good beginning and a good end, Thou being the Alpha and the Omega of the work of grace in the hearts of Thy dear children. The work being the same, the beginning as at the end, a work of God, a work begun, a work carried on, and a work finished. And, O Lord, how we see the necessity, Lord, that Thou should work all Thy works in us, that it should be Thine, Thy workmanship. Thou hast said, ye are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Lord, look down and grant the movements of Thy Spirit in the congregation, those blessed movements. Lord, there is a season of sowing, there is a season of growth, and there is a season of harvest in Zion. There is a reaping what is sown. Lord, we pray that it may be so in this sanctuary of God here, in the congregation, in the church. Lord, come and work. We know that that work is thine alone. First the blade, then the ear, and then the full corn. Lord, we know that our time is always ready, but thine is yet to come. And dear Lord, we see that thou wouldst work in the midst, and that there may be that fruit manifested upon all the afflictions of thy people. Pray, Lord, for our dear young friend here in his great affliction, unable to be in the house of God. We commend him into thy loving, tender care and mercies, and pray that thy will may be done. Thou would sanctify afflictions. O gracious God, there is a prophet in afflictions. A prophet being a destruction of self in our eyes and a raising of thyself in our eyes. To be brought low, to be brought to the gates of eternity, as indeed we have. And Lord, to be brought up again is not a path human nature would choose, but it is one thou dost ordain for us in our lives, and it is a profitable path, a path of walking with thee and having fellowship with thee in thy sufferings, a path of sweet union and communion with thyself, the sweet experience of those everlasting arms, the proving that the eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are those everlasting arms. And Lord, we pray that would sanctify affliction, wherever they may be in the congregation. Lord, sanctify them, and oh, may there be profit in them. Lord, look down upon Zion today, thy servants as they stand up in thy name this morning. Lord, we thank thee for those thou art sending into the vineyard, and pray for them as they go out into the way. Many of thy dear servants are drawing near the end of their labours, the larger part now inevitably behind them. But Lord, we pray thou wouldst raise up a following generation. And O gracious God, we beseech thee for them, that thou would so work in their hearts and in their ministry and in their labours, that they may be made acceptable to the brethren, that they may speak and preach with a measure of authority of those things that they have handled, of the good word of God, those things they have walked in, and those things, Lord, that we made precious to them. Thy dear people are a discerning people, and they desire food for their souls. So we pray for the young as they go out into the ministry of thy holy word, and those whom thou hast eternally ordained to the work, yet to go. Lord, we pray that they may be numbered amongst those who have dipped their foot in oil and are made acceptable to the brethren. Gracious God, we pray in the churches for all who walk in afflictions. Our dear brother at Luton at this moment, we pray for him. We thank thee for bringing him successfully through an operation. And oh, we pray, gracious God, thou wouldst grant thy healing mercies in body and soul. And so we pray for all, many walking in paths of affliction. We pray that, Lord, there may be a walking as thou hast told us in thy word, through much tribulation. Ye shall enter into the kingdom of God. Look upon the young as they're growing up about us. And Lord, we commend them to thee. Oh, we pray in this dark, evil, vile generation in which we're now living, when there is such wickedness abroad in the land, and when our society is so godless, heathen and profane, and when so many evils and errors and much heresy arises in the land, Lord, that thou wouldst grant grace and strength. We pray thee to be enabled to stand. Oh, grant that seed of divine grace in their hearts, that, Lord, they may be enabled to walk out that sweet path. So did not I, because of the fear of the Lord. Oh, grant that fruit of thy Spirit, separation, to be in this world, but not of it. It was the path thou didst walk when here on earth. Thou didst not separate thyself by thyself, but didst walk among the world, yet so totally separate from it. And thou dost call thy dear people to walk that same pathway. We pray those give strength and grace to stand in this evil day, and having done all, to stand. Lord, we pray as thou hast commanded us for our nation and those in authority over us. Pray for the Queen and the royal household, the Prime Minister, his cabinet, our parliamentary assemblies in Commons and Lords. Oh Lord, what a state the land is in, what evils and corruptions and pride and conceit, what a denial of thy holy name, and no looking to thee for wisdom or grace, no calling of this nation to prayer as once was done in our lifetime. But Lord, we look to thee as a tiny remnant in the land. We know that thou hast a people, as thou didst have in the days of Elijah. We believe there is a remnant in this land. We pray for our national sovereignty. Oh, we pray that thou would yet keep us from amalgamation with the nations of Europe in all their heathen godlessness, all these evil lords that are emanating from Europe. Gracious God, turn to us in mercy, for we are under thy judgments. We feel it and know it. The wrath of our God is upon us. Great tides of wickedness have swept over the shores of this land in our lifetime. And we have seen the vast moral degradation this nation has come into. But gracious God, thou remainest. All power belongeth unto thee. With thee all things are possible. Preserve this land. Pour out thy Spirit yet, as thou hast in former generations in revival. And, gracious God, restore our Protestant heritage and, Lord, the reformed faith in this land. Be with us now. We thank thee for thy holy day and thy open word and freedom of worship and freedom of speech. May they long be maintained to us. We fear the clouds of persecution arising about us. Gracious God, may we now know the sweetness of the truth, the doors being shut. Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. Come, Lord, and make one with us this day, and bless thy holy word of truth and use it. Touch our lips with a live coal from thy heavenly altar, and fill our earthen vessel as we seek the anointing and unction and dew of thy Spirit to rest upon the foolishness of preaching, and ask every mercy with the pardon of every sin for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 61. 'Twas fixed in God's eternal mind when his dear son should mercy find. From everlasting he decreed, when every good should be conveyed. Hymn number 61.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's help, I direct your attention this morning to the prophecy of Isaiah, reading from the 26th chapter and the 12th verse. The prophecy of Isaiah, reading from the 26th chapter and the 12th verse. Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou also hast wrought all our works in us. Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou also hast wrought all our works in us. The work of God is spoken of here as being his own work. The work of God in the salvation of his church is to bring peace between his Father and his people. It is a peace which concerns an open conflict. A conflict between fallen man and a holy God. The conflict centers on disobedience, defiance and rebellion. Sons of Adam, as born in nature's darkness, are at war with God. They love darkness rather than light. But the work of God is to bring peace. And we can be certain of this, that man of himself cannot and never would bring about that peace. The heart of fallen man is, we will not have this man, that is God, to reign over us. It is loving darkness rather than light. And it is a divine work to still the rebellious will and to turn the feet of his dear people to their God. It is blessed that the Lord has purposes, that he is almighty, that he is sovereign, and that he has eternal purposes of love and mercy, and that he will bring about those purposes. Beautifully, we read in the scriptures from Christ's own lips, I will that those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. There are many of you this morning know anything of a divine intervention in your lives which has had an effect of bringing you down as clay in the hands of heavenly potter to hear and listen to the voice of God. It is a sweet word. The work of grace as seen in the scripture, be still and know that I am God. All of God's dear people can look back, and do look back, and often look back with much sorrow, as I do, to the days of my unregeneracy. But equally, I can mark the moment when the Lord began, and when the heavenly commandment came, and when there was a stilling, and when there was like the apostle, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? sweet, very sweet, if you, in your experience, are able this morning, young as you may be, to mark the moment when the Lord, who has ordained peace for you, spoke in your life and touched your soul and brought you to his footstool. I've been looking lately the life of Joseph Charles Philpott and how it all began with him in his early day, the broken friendship in his youth which broke his heart, but it broke his heart in a different way. It broke his heart before his God. He says he rode his horse on the shores of Ireland broken hearted, but he'd been brought up in religious society in the Anglican Church, but he knew nothing. Not this God. But the Lord had ordained peace. That he was no longer to be in the world. He was to be separated from it, and he was to be a mighty instrument in God's hands for his people's blessing. And he was to be separated and watched by an almighty power. There is a set time to favour Zion. Here the prophet sees the work of God. Lord, thou wilt ordain. There is a purpose. There is a divine power. There is a putting forth of the Holy Spirit according to the work of Christ on Calvary's cross. With almighty power and regenerating grace, there is that moment of the new birth. It is hard to define. The Lord meant what he said when he said, "The wind bloweth, thou canst not tell the sound thereof, whence it cometh or whither it goeth." Has the wind of God's Spirit blown in your heart? Oh, have you felt that gentle breath of God, the call that the Scriptures speak of, whom he did predestinate, ordain, and he also called? Blessed mercy, if you have heard that call and the wind has gently blown, you may well be like Nicodemus, that still a secret disciple. Nothing has ever been said. No one knows. It is not immediately manifest. It wasn't with Nicodemus. The work was there. I've said it many times lately in speaking of him, but when he came to Jesus that night, he was one of his children, and he knew it. He was one whom he'd come to die for, and he knew it. The work of grace had not begun in his heart. How can these things be? He said in his ignorance. And the Lord said, "Art thou master of Israel, and knowest not these things?" But the Lord was teaching him. He had yet to walk in that way. And it's no mystery that the Lord said to him, "The wind bloweth." It took some years before he confessed Christ and came to Calvary's cross and approached Pilate to take his body to the tomb. But the Lord knew this very man who stood before him, coming to him by night, was ordained for peace, was ordained as one of his dear children. And he was the very man with Joseph of Arimathea, two secret disciples. Yet the work of God was in their hearts. Their lips were shut. They were fearful of acknowledging him. But the Lord knew that the hour was to come when they would both be brought right out into the very limelight at Calvary's cross, in love to carry his body to the tomb. Oh, what a sacred ordaining of peace. They were to be brought into sweet union with the God of peace. And they were to know the peace of God, which passes all understanding. They were to be united to the Lamb of God. And they were to be brought out and manifested by their fruits. There is so much religion that is false. It has all the appearance of being right. I've lived with it. I've seen it. I've had my hopes dashed many times. And I've learned the solemn lesson of the truth of Scripture. By their fruits ye shall know them. It's not what they say. It's something vastly different. It's what they do. Oh, we may have high hopes of many, but they come into solemn temptations and they fall away. We read of them in Scripture. They went out from him because they were not of him. God's dear children walk through fire and storm and tempest, but they come out at the last in all the fiery temptations, and the work of God is manifested. The three men went into the fire. They walked in the peace of God with Christ, and they came forth from that fire, and they had a blessed experience. They've been with Christ, and he'd been the God of mercy to them. And they had come out untouched by even the smell of the fire. And that sweet experience, which is the hallmark of all God's dear children, they carry in their hearts an experience of Christ. And I believe those men in the fire knew the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. They would never have known it otherwise. God puts his dear people into fiery furnaces of trial and temptation. This is the place where they know the peace of God. When I went to the United States in 2001, it was only 3 weeks after September the 11th. It was the first time in my life I'd ever flown. The Lord spoke to me before I left. With great power, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Never shall I forget that 9-hour flight. And the peace of God that I felt, utterly at rest. No fear, all taken away. Oh, when God ordains peace, whether it be in the trials of our life or in a dying hour, we walk in the strength of it, the presence of our God, in a knowledge of those everlasting arms underneath. And we know something of his faithfulness. But there is another aspect greater than that. For these are temporal things. And I would desire to speak of those greater things. Oh, when we look at Calvary's cross, far from being a scene of peace, It is a scene of agony and suffering. We cannot fully enter into the amazing scene at Calvary when the Creator of this universe, God Himself, in His glorious humanity, hung there, bleeding, dying on Calvary's cross for His dear church, that He might procure that glorious peace through His peace-speaking blood and bring His dear church to their knees to ask for it. Wash me. Purge me, was the language of the sweet psalmist of Israel regarding the precious blood of Christ. And you see, there are two aspects of this work. One is the finished work of Christ on Calvary's cross, and the second is the application of that blood in our own hearts and souls. Just as much as we have spoken of the truth that the Lord spoke to Nicodemus of, ye must be born again, equally we must enter in to the blood of Christ in our experience here below, for it is conclusive that if we do not, we cannot sing the anthem of glory unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Oh, I realize there may be many of you young ones sitting here this morning, and I was young once and sat there. And remember listening to sermons on the blood of Christ, and remember so vividly on one occasion leaving the house of God and saying to myself, Lord, I know nothing about that. But I hadn't moved off the steps of the chapel far when the Lord spoke in my heart with great sweetness, every grace and every favour comes to us through Jesus' blood. And I knew I had one or two answers to prayer, and I had such a sight that they could only have come through the blood of Christ. I did know something about it. But there was something more, you see, which was in my mind and heart, and that was to know it in my soul with power. Yes, we know a little of it. We can't get on our knees and plead to the Lord for help and strength, and He answers our prayers without that intercession being through His blood in the courts of heaven above. But you see, a sinner brought to know his sins. Now, there are varying ways in which that is done, and there are varying degrees by which the Lord works. Some are brought down suddenly in their youth. Some are brought into deep conviction instantly. Some, like the Apostle Paul, are brought down under deep condemnation in a life of darkness and wickedness, hatred to God and truth. Some are brought, like the Philippian jailer, when eternity was around him, the earthquake had taken place, there were hundreds buried around him dying, and he had escaped. But in his heart there was death. He knew it, and he was unprepared. Some are brought like it by Hezekiah. The Lord laid affliction on him, which brought him face to face with the gates of death, and then he knew he wasn't ready. Some are like Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened quietly, no affliction, no earthquake. The gentle voice of God, the breath of heaven. But there is a work of conviction in the heart. There is a bringing a sinner down. It is a work divine to bring us to our knees, to pray like the publican, "Dear God, be merciful to me, a sinner." But it is the avenue to peace. When the Holy Spirit starts to convict and convince of sin by His Spirit, sometimes it's instantaneous, sometimes it's here a little and there a little, sometimes it's early in life, sometimes it's like the dying thief in the last hours of life. Oh, how diverse is the operation of the Holy Spirit in the soul of each individual child of God. But look into your own heart. Has the Lord worked there? Have you known anything in your soul of the work of God's Spirit bringing you to possess your sins, to feel the filth and the vileness? Have you come where the Apostle Paul came, "When I would do good, evil is present with me, and how to perform that which is right I find not"? What about those besetting sins? You vow, and you vow again, you'll never do them, and then you're overcome. Satan gets in again. He's an artful foe. He deceives us. He brings us down. He would bring us into condemnation. But oh, what a mercy if God has begun in our hearts, we have a God to whom we can go to confess our sins. We're double-dyed sinners, sins against light and knowledge. Oh, the mercy, God, for such, has ordained peace. The peace of Jesus Christ through His precious blood. And that peace is known when that blood is applied. Hymn writer says, "Law and terrors do but harden, all the while they work alone. But a sense of blood-bought pardon soon will melt a heart of stone." And if you have not known it, I tell you this, that it is the very avenue of peace between God and our souls. That precious blood, in an instant, is beautifully revealed in the Scriptures on the mercy seat as the blood of sprinkling. That mercy seat was the place of propitiation, where the wrath of God against the sins of His dear people was appeased through the blood of Christ. And the Lord could look upon His dear people without wrath, for that wrath had fallen upon His dear Son. There we see at Calvary's cross propitiation for His dear church, and wrath removed. And so it is in the experience of the Church of God, when the Lord ordains peace for us, He ordains the time and the place, the hour in our lives, when we are brought under a knowledge of our sins, in the conviction of them, and we come to the cross of Calvary and plead that precious blood, and not once, again and again we shall need it in life's pathway. Daily, I'd repent of sin, says the hymn writer. Daily wash in Calvary's blood. And again the hymn writer says, "Plunge me in that crimson ocean, thy atonement made for sin." John the Divine speaks of it when he says, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Beautiful little us. Oh, can you join that heavenly company unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Apostle Peter speaks of it, the blood. He speaks of the precious blood. For as much as you know, you were not redeemed, he says, with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. That man had denied his Lord with oaths and curses to his face within hours of sitting down to the Last Supper. He was a baptized believer, one to whom Christ has said, whom say men that I am? And he could confess, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Yet he went out, following his Lord at a distance, Christ having told him he would fall, and yet he had prayed for him. He went out, denied him with oaths and curses. He could speak of the precious blood of Christ because he was such a great sinner, greatest sinners, greatly loved. It was peculiarly precious to him. And he could speak of it in this way, regarding his dear Saviour who had looked upon him in compassion and mercy and love, having prayed for him. He was not out of the secret, but he was a fallen sinner. And he could look upon him in such sweet love and mercy and compassion as he did. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. The eyes of the Saviour at that hour were the eyes of love. He had himself been tempted in all things like as we are, yet without sin. And he was touched with the infirmities of his dear servant. And there was peace for Peter through the blood of the eternal Son of God. And so he could say who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree. And they're very precious avenues of peace, are they not? The hymn writer has put it into that hymn, peace, perfect peace. In this dark world of sin, the blood of Jesus speaketh peace within. Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Lord, in that trinity of persons, thou wilt ordain peace for us. I will, that those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Or as the Lord said in another place, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou hast wrought all our works in us. That is a simple statement, but you know, in the world today there are two types of religion. The larger part, by far the larger part, believe in a salvation through their own works. They may appear to be very good works. You may pray 5 times a day. You may do many good works, most commendable. You may try to lead a good life and abstain from sinning. You might do what Luther did, and many have done, feeling particularly desirous of a holy life. You think that the best thing you can do is to leave this world and shut yourself in four walls and keep away from the world, not be contaminated by it, and thus lead a holy life. You might, as some have done, become a hermit and separate yourself from everybody. Live the life of a hermit. Many in the years gone by thought that if they inflicted suffering on their body, it might help. Some actually believe that by taking the Lord's Supper, or as the Catholic Church calls it, the Mass, that is itself a good work and brings with it a God's peace and righteousness. And so I might go on. There are many ways. But the prophet here has a different angle on the matter, has he not? So beautifully different. Thou hast wrought. Does that speak into your heart? Does that satisfy you? I find it, as I get older, more and more sweet, that all is of our God. And I know this, and I am a holy God to whom I must give an account and enter into his presence. Oh, to come before him whose eye searches all hearts. What are you going to bring? I've been witness to some deathbeds in hospitals, and I've heard and seen some things. I shall never forget one man saying to me, as he was dying, I've led as good a life as I can. I can't think God will be hard on me. And I was the witness on one occasion to the last rites of the Roman Catholic Church in the mouth of a dying man who was dying resting upon the wafer that had just been put into his mouth. Oh, but where do we rest? Not our work. The works of God in us. The prophet had such a clear view of this. It's not thou wilt, it's thou hast. He's looking at the eternal purposes of God in eternity past. Christ spoke of his work on Calvary's cross. The hymn writer says, all is finished, and my soul approves it well. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do, and now come I to thee, O Father. All was Christ's work, not ours. Oh, it is a blessed mercy, you see, because in that great day, what will you have to to stand before your God. What he has done in you, what he has done for you, what you have known of the mighty work of the Holy Spirit calling you out of nature's darkness, what you have known of the doctrine of justification, whom he called, that's God's work, them he also justified. What you have known of the precious blood of Christ upon your soul, how vital when we come to stand before the judge of the whole earth that he has wrought all our works. They're works of God individually for every member of his family, and they're wrought out by his Spirit in their hearts, and they're theirs forever. He gives to his dear people the exceeding great and precious promises. He called Jacob at Bethel and implanted instantly in his heart a promise, I'll be with thee in all places whithersoever thou goest, and I will not leave thee. So I brought thee again to this place. Well, he came back to Jabbok, did he not? And there he wrestled with his God. And what could he plead? Only the promise of Bethel. Only what the Lord had given him. You know, he came to the end of his days, and we read in Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, leaning upon his staff, he blessed Ephraim and Manasseh. And what was he leaning on? His promises. The work of God in his heart. What the Lord had done for him and given him. That the dear man of God could lean upon and plead. And he wrestled in the strength of that work of grace in his soul. And he would not let his God go until he blessed him. We read, he blessed him there. We read exactly the same of his grandfather when the Lord took him through the solemn scene on Mount Moriah to raise the knife over all his religion, all the promises of God, in thee and in thy seed, that is Christ, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And it was a figure of Christ, the ram caught in the thicket that was offered on Mount Moriah. And oh, what a scene we have there. Christ said, Abraham saw my day, but it was a time of the trial of his faith, and it was a time of great blessing. In blessing, said the Lord to him as he left Mount Moriah, I'll bless thee. The Lord was with his dear servant. Thou, the eternal triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, hast wrought all our works. It is the purposes of the Father that have ordained peace, peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the work of the Son on Calvary's cross, there to offer himself a spotless sacrifice for sin. And it is the work of the Holy Spirit here in our generation, in time, to take of the things of Jesus and to reveal them in the hearts of God's dear people. Thou, Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou hast wrought all our works in us. It is only his children in whose hearts he has planted that work of grace. Who can, before God who seeth all things and searcheth all hearts, utter this language? Can you? What can you say this morning? Is it a principle in your heart, established there by divine grace, that nothing can save your soul except the working out of these works in your soul by God himself? Have you been brought away from every arm of flesh? You may not have obtained or received what you desire in your heart, and may feel that you're a long way from it. But you know what you want. You know what you need. You know that you can never be satisfied and never will be satisfied with religion short of what you want. And it may be till a dying hour the Lord may keep you waiting to give you exactly what you want. I knew of a case about 4 years ago, I may have mentioned it here, a dear young Dutch friend of mine who was stricken with cancer at the age of 33. The Lord did in fact take him home. But he was in agony for the last 3 months of his life under deep conviction of sin, and felt he was utterly lost. Brought up in a godly home with godly parents, but he longed for the manifestation of this peace in his soul, and he obtained it. 2 days before he died, the Lord came and touched her heart with those words, "With his stripes ye healed." And he was healed. He said to his father, "I'm at peace. I can go." And go he did, leaving behind him a sweet and precious memory. "Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou hast wrought all our works in us." I would say something about this wrought. It can be these works are wrought out in my experience and have been in some of my deepest, darkest valleys of tribulation. It was the word that the Lord first opened my ears to hear the truth under old Mr. Clark of Barton. And I was about 16 when he preached from the words, "Through much tribulation ye shall enter the kingdom." Oh, the sweetness of that night, I shall never forget it. But I little realized what was involved in it. Now looking back over 60 years, I see something of the meaning of it, yes. I have been through many troughs in the ways of life's pathway. And it has been in those troughs that I have learned of him. Oh, the valleys are not places we desire, but they're precious places. They're places where he meets with us, where we commune with him, where we know his presence, where we know his strength, where we know his peace. In the storm on Galilee, what a lesson they learned. Hearts full of fear, "Lord, save, or we perish," was their cry. And I have known in my life many hours of severe temptation and fear, unbelief and trembling. But to hear the voice of God as they heard it on Galilee and saw it, peace, be still. And there was a great calm. And so it can be in your life. It has been in mine. Calm inwardly amidst storms of great temptation and fear. Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou hast wrought all our works in us. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day amounted to £820, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Broom hopes to address the Sunday School this afternoon and administer the Lord's Supper after this evening's service, and also to address the prayer meeting tomorrow evening. Mr. Pack is expected to preach on Wednesday evening, and Mr. Hope next Lord's Day. And our friends at Fenstatton hold their Thanksgiving service on Tuesday evening. Hymn 626. Sinners who on Jesus rest must eternally be blessed. All Jehovah's love can give, they from Jesus shall receive. 626.
Thank you.
now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit, abide with you each. Amen.